It's time for Cofield and Company.
Shorthanded empty net goal for Frank Vetrano has made it a 3-goal lead, and the clock will run out. Game 82 ends on a sour note for the regular season. Anaheim 4, Vegas 1.
Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company, only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday. People were walking by, tried to scare them. Didn't work. They didn't budge. A familiar voice back in the company chair. This man's a saint because he did a morning show this morning, but not a Pacific Time Zone morning show. John Von Tobel, one of the stalwarts at ESPN Las Vegas. Over on VSiN now between 3 and 6, but was doing the morning show this week, was up this morning. I don't know when the hell you get up for a 4 o'clock in the morning show. 2?
Yeah, 2.
2 o'clock. So you took a nap?
In my car.
Oh, no. Yeah. Starting to get hot.
Yeah. It is. It's actually, it wasn't, like, terrible. Yeah. The problem, too, is, I don't want to fight. I'll reveal a little bit. I got a little bit of gas today. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so, like, I kind of dozed off in the car, but I put the windows up, and then I kind of woke up. I was like, oh, boy, I better roll these windows down. Something's going on while I've been snoozing.
That brings something up that's unrelated to the show, and this happens often on Cofield & Company. I started watching a new series. Do you guys have Apple TV? You watch anything on Apple TV?
We have, my brother-in-law's account, yes.
Okay. Whoa. Dump that. What's going on here?
We
commit crimes.
Come get me.
Demond, anything on Apple? Ever?
Not since the therapy show. That was the last thing that I was like, I got to check this out on Apple.
Yeah. Israel's right. Watching something with Kristen Wiig. I don't remember what it is.
I saw an ad up there for a show, and I'm like, is that Michael Douglas? He's doing Ben Franklin.
What?
Yeah.
Like, is it a dramatic role?
I mean, dramatic and funny. There's funny moments, but it's mostly based in, so far, in France. And there is a scene where they have a big meal. He's just come over from the United States on a ship, and they just start talking about farting in 1776. I'm like, nothing changes.
Okay. I mean, farts are – I don't know what I was watching the other day, but it was the joke was a fart. And I was like, man, farts are timeless. Like, they're funny.
They are.
They're always going to be fun.
We're going to get to your farting habits at the very end of the show.
Okay.
That's a super mega tease, if we remember.
It's about the high-protein diet, baby.
We had some controversy that we tweeted out on video. I don't know if you saw it, but we'll get into that. We'll get some closure on this end around 5:52. How about that? Knight, you hear him coming in. Well, that was the definition of falling flat. Demond, I mentioned yesterday with a Swede gambling expert. Who's on the show, Dustin Swedelson.
There's like dozens of us. Yeah.
I know. About trying to bet money line on the dogs yesterday in the VGK and LA game, and then also doing a two-team parlay. And I didn't get the bets in. My app crashed. That was close. That was real close. Golden Knights just got blown off the ice. 4-1, and then the Kings were like tit for tat with them in terms of coming up short, and then they had a dramatic comeback at the end to pull it out. So now we got new matchups. We expected VGK to be in Canada at Edmonton, and now we flipped it around. VGK will start out with the Dallas Stars. Yeah. Did you follow it last night, Demond?
Only the result, because I was worried about the sake of the show. Adam Hill doesn't have to take a trip to Canada.
Yeah, I wish we could tell the whole story. We're going to tell it down the road. But Adam, if they were going to Canada, was going to have to go to Canada. So
what's wrong with that? Doesn't he like to travel?
I'll have to tell you off the air.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, you know, Adam's
allowed in there.
Adam's a very busy guy. He does have several felonies and everything's changed. No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, not allowed in.
No, he just didn't
see him. Like, get him out of here.
He just didn't want to go. Doesn't feel like he has time, but there are other good reasons.
What a life.
So the games are set up.
I don't
right?
want to go to Canada.
You get to dictate. Yeah. Well, he travels a lot. Is that the equivalent of me complaining that I have all these free trips with UNLV Sports, and I'm like, Laramie.
I mean, it's Laramie. That sucks.
I've never
been there, and I'll just assume it sucks.
I have to say, the travel this year, there were some cities that I hadn't hit it with yet that I actually found a good flow and some places to go to. Laramie was one of them, but my number one – I hit some good places. My number one complaint about Laramie is it's too small, and it doesn't have rideshare. And we were at a bar a group, and it was – we started at I'm telling you, this was the end of the night. We started to look for a rideshare back about 2 miles to the hotel. It was 11:15. We went an hour without finding one.
Oh, that's terrible.
And then guess what we did?
Walked.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was not blowing a 0-0. Matt Nevra was actually with me walking back because the two other people who walked went like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And Matt's coming up, actually. Good tie-in here. Matt, the voice of the Aviators, one of them, along with Russ Langer and the voice of UNLV Baseball, he actually walked the whole way back with me and never shut up the whole time, which normally I'd be like, all right, but I needed it. I had to stay focused.
Voice of the Aviators.
I think halfway through I would have just laid down and gone to sleep and see what happened at like 6 in the morning.
But I'd also say the difference for you is, I would assume, right, as part of a series, you're going to be out there. Like, you're going to Canada, but you're going to be out there for a couple of days, right?
That is different.
And
this is just like a day and a half.
Yeah, I've been on these UNLV trips, which is pretty tough sometimes because it's quick. Like, you're in, and then you're coming back the next day. It's a quick turnaround. And, yeah, like, sometimes in certain professions, people don't want to hear about certain complaints.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree. Travel woes are not – the audience does not want to hear that, like, especially when you're traveling on someone else's dime.
Yeah. Well, like, so, like, for example, one of the many podcasts I listen to, because I'm a gamer nerd, so it's like a video game podcast, and, like, almost every episode these guys open up with how tired they are and how much work they have to do. And it's
stop, dude.
Hey, like, I understand. You probably do have to do
a lot
of work.
Wait, they're making a living off of gaming?
Yeah. And
Shut up.
And I'm like, you guys probably do have to do a lot of work. Like, I get it. There's pitfalls of every profession. But to hear it every episode about how tired you are, it's like, I'm sorry you had to stay up late night and play Hellraisers 2, you know?
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah, you're right. And we do mostly positive stuff on the food on the road. The way I can frame it is there are kids choosing to go to school in Laramie, Wyoming.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like, rideshare should be the focal point of your decision, but that tells you how small a city it is, because that's the second time that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was out a few years ago and couldn't get one. I finally got one. I think it's the one guy. He's got a big pickup truck, and it took an hour, and I had, like, five more beers, and that one I was annihilated.
Matt seems like a nice guy. Matt seems like a white knight sort of guy that would just talk you the whole way. I got you, Steve.
He was great.
Probably put your arm around his shoulders.
No, he didn't do that.
You a little
bit. I think because he was focused on speaking and talking that he didn't realize that.
Steve, keep listening to my voice.
I was
blowing follow
like
my
a,
voice.
You know, a 0.22 or something. So he's coming up in about 10 minutes.
I don't know why I'm doing that voice. He's more like, follow my voice, Steve.
I was like, what is that? He's like classic play-by-play guy who's 31 going on 61. Chicago, Miami, Sacramento, New Orleans. All right, let's talk about Miami. First of all, Swede yesterday said, hashtag heat culture, he's in. DeMond is on record, hashtag heat culture, he's in. DeMond, what's going on here? Do you think this is a jinx or is it arrogance?
I'm just reading the tea leaves, Steve. This is from Andy Slater on Twitter. The Miami Heat have already scheduled their flight to Boston tomorrow at 1 p.m.
Well, the Bulls, you kind of have to do that. I don't think I'd let the news out.
I'm sure Chicago has already also scheduled their flight.
Well,
to Boston.
Just on the checking the flight patterns, their flight from Chicago or their flight from Miami, it's just back to Chicago. If they were really ready, they would have their bags packed and been already on to Boston.
Oh, loser mentality.
Exactly.
I mean, you do have to go back home and like get things ready and then go. I'm not sure if they're packed for a road trip.
Why don't you tell the team, pack your bags for Boston too, baby?
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Loser mentality.
A good motivator would, but Billy Donovan's a loser, so I will say.
Wait, hold on. Build on that, because I got to hear this one. Was that a joke?
Yeah, it was a joke.
Okay, I was like, Kentucky was just ready to back up the freaking dump truck with 12 mil plus.
No, he's no Pat Riley. He's no Pat Riley, Steve. Yeah. They're all losers compared to a good old Pat. I mean, it depends on what you mean by in on heat culture. Like, to what extent are you in? Do you think they can win tonight? I would agree with that. I think they're going to win tonight. Like, I would think it's the bet to make. They're good enough defensively. Spo's a maniac. That first half against Philly, it looked like Philadelphia had never seen a zone defense before. And it was cool because it was like this amorphous, weird zone that was like shifting forms every time they went down.
Good work.
But like, I mean, I can understand, cool, you could beat the number 9 seed Chicago, but like in the next round, DeMond, are you a believer in heat culture against the Boston Celtics without Jimmy Butler?
I'll give him a game.
Okay, so
maybe.
Exactly. Yeah, it's one thing to say you believe in them tonight. It's another to say you believe in them in the next round.
Is there any chance they're kind of fluffing up the injury status? I mean, why would they do it? They're not even in the next series yet, but that they're embellishing a bit.
I mean, I hope the team is officially announced a few weeks.
Oh boy.
So like, there's no embellishing that. Nah. He's done, at least for the time being. And I mean, you go back to the game against the 76ers. There's multiple possessions that people like put on Twitter. He was just standing in the corner. And Jimmy Butler's not a floor spacer. He's not no. He's not a threat out there in the corner doing nothing. Like, remember the year – you'll remember because you're a diehard Nets fan. You remember the year that they went to the playoffs and Harden, like, tore his hamstring off of the bone, essentially. And then he went out there and he still played. But at the very least, James Harden's like a shooter. So if he's standing on the wing and he catches it, he's wide open. You got to respect that.
Right.
Jimmy Butler's not doing that.
Right.
Yeah. So
he's downhill. He's got to be on the move.
Exactly. Or he's getting to the free throw line. He's not drawing free throws, not moving. So yeah, I don't know if you're embellishing that or not, but Heat are good enough defensively to pull this off. But next round, by the way, next round against the Celtics team that's not only better, but I would assume is looking for just a hint of revenge after losing that series last year. You don't think they'd love to put it to them?
That's a 4 o'clock game, so you can watch it with us down here. 4 and 6:30, the games go down. SAC and the Pels. We'll break that down a little more with one of the guys here from the Sportsbook, Patrick Berbert, in the 4 o'clock hour. Here is Treasure Island. It's Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Come on down, 55-plus TVs. We got the NBA play-ins. We got loads of Major League Baseball. By the way, we're going to talk to a Major League Baseball play-by-play announcer, our good friend Zach Zaidman, in the 5 o'clock hour, and that'll be a lot about Chicago. And if you're a UNLV fan, you're going to want to hear about one of their commits, Jaden Henley, later in the show.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
So Friday, we got a full baseball slate in addition to the NBA play-in game. So we wanted to talk a little baseball with our guy Matt Neverett, as he is on the calls of the Aviators games, our AAA team here in Las Vegas, and, of course, one of the announcers for UNLV baseball. Matt, how are you, buddy?
Hey, doing well. Happy to come on with you guys. Always happy to hype up some ball this time of year.
Let's do it. Well, let's hype up what's going on with UNLV baseball this weekend.
Yeah, big series. It's the Silver State Series presented by America First Credit Union. UNR comes to town. The Wolfpack took 2 out of 3 against the Rebels in Reno. In March, so this a bit of vengeance on the mind for Stan Stolte and company, but it's getting to the nitty-gritty for this UNLV team that started out really slow in conference play after a really hot start in the non-conference play. With 3 wins, if they're able to sweep Nevada this weekend, they would actually surpass them in the Mountain West standings. And looking at the table, the top 4 teams make the conference tournament. Got to keep that in mind when you look at Mountain West baseball. And right now, UNLV's 6th. They are just a couple of games back of both Nevada and San Jose State for that 4th and final spot.
So what do we
got?
You gave me the sand.
I gave you a thumbs up because I was complimenting Matt on a sponsor pop. Go ahead, fire it.
Well, I was just going to ask the general question of player-wise, who am I looking out for on this UNLV baseball team? As somebody who hasn't really followed it a lot, what are some of their strengths?
Definitely offense. And that's historically been where they have been at their best. 2 years ago, they were a top 3 offense in just about every category nationally. A lot of the same guys from that team, at least in the lineup, still on the roster. Ryland Charles is the table setter at the top. He's a Reno native, one of just a couple on the team, so these games against the Wolfpack mean a lot to him. He was the hero in the only game that UNLV won in Reno last month. So Ryland Charles, who's tied for the lead in the conference with hits. Austin Krizic, who does lead the conference in RBIs and extra base hits as well. And then Kevin Higgins, the assistant coach, the hitting coach, and he coaches third base as well. His son, Cade Higgins, plays right field, and he's another big power bat. It goes Higgins and Krizic in the 3-4 spot every day in the lineup with Ryland Charles as a table setter. And with those three alone, you've got 3 of the top really 5 or 6 bats in the Mountain West as a whole. On the mound, though, Austin Cates is going to be the name to keep an eye on. He'll start tonight. He's a Friday starter. He is the #1 starter in the conference, leads in innings pitched and strikeouts. He's phenomenal, works at the quickest pace ever, which, you know, keeps the hitters off balance, but selfishly for us, makes the games go by pretty fast. It also helps that he dominates in those matchups as well. So Cates will go on the mound tonight. Ryland Charles right off the bat playing in center field is going to be the other one that I'd keep an eye on.
So UNLV baseball taking on Reno, 6:05 today, 6:05 tomorrow, noon on Sunday. Aviators with a big weekend and a bunch of cool giveaways, and I think it's dinosaur weekend. You can describe that to folks. I wanted to ask, in the short stint that Ruiz had in Vegas, now he's back up with the A's, how did he look, and did he kind of prove what he needed to prove?
Yeah, I would think so. Esteury Ruiz was the American League leader in stolen bases last year, set the American League record for rookies for stolen bases as well with 63. He kept up that speed, but it added some power. That was one of the things that Mark Kotze and the Athletics wanted him to work on, was swinging for the fences a little bit more, which sounds counterintuitive for a guy with that stature and build, but he really showed that he can add some home run pop. He had 3 home runs in the 11 games that he played here, and I got the numbers in front of me. Out of 14 hits, he had 6 of them for extra bases. He also stole 7 bases, and he tried was really good defensively as well. I mean, he got on base in every single game that he played with the Aviators, all 11 of them. So he did exactly what they wanted. The two things they wanted him to improve, and this is from Mark Kotze, were get on base more, add some power. He did those and then some. And then when he got called back up, hit two home runs in his first three games with Oakland. So I would say he added some power, and he's going to continue to steal bases as well.
They have other prospects on this team, and oftentimes they're just a little bit older in the A's organization. But, you know, Langeliers is off to a good start power-wise this year in the majors. They have another catching prospect who is still, relatively young.
Yeah, Tyler Soderstrom made his first crack at the big league last year, got his first cup of coffee, really did not hit up to his own standards. He's a power left-handed bat, which is a rarity for catchers. He has a really, really good swing, really good approach. At times, though, he gets a little bit too aggressive, and he got exposed by major league pitching last year, no other way to put it. So he's here to start the year for a lot of the same reasons that Esteban Ruiz was sent down. And Soderstrom has been an extra base hit machine. He has really come around here at the beginning of the season. He struggled the first couple of games, no doubt about it. But since then, he has 9 extra base hits out of his 11 hits in total this year. So when he puts the ball in play, he really has high exit velocities. He finds gaps. He's a pretty good catcher. He's also a decent first baseman. I think that combination and versatility will bode well for him moving ahead and kind of give him some versatility, especially with Daniel Susak, who was drafted in the first round 2 years ago by the A's out of Arizona, likely matriculating his way up to Las Vegas this year. There's kind of a lineage as far as the A's catching goes, with Langeliers at the top of it, and Soderstrom right behind it. But I think because of Susak and a couple of other catchers in the organization, I think we'll see Soderstrom more at first. As far as some other prospects that we're looking at, Max Muncy, the other Max Muncy, is a 22-year-old shortstop, first-round draft pick, who is adding some pop as well. A lot of these guys adding some home run pop. He is a good good defender at short. He needs to improve a little bit of the range, but he's got a phenomenal arm. He's another guy to keep an eye on as well. And then not a prospect per se, not in any of the top 30 rankings, but Logan Davidson, first-round pick out of Clemson in 2019, switch hitter, plays first base, shortstop, left field, right field, has a good arm, plays all those positions pretty well. So he's another name to keep an eye out for as far as top guys, high-round draft picks.
Cofield and Company getting you ready for the local scene, baseball-wise, around Las Vegas. Matt Nevert is with Cofield and Company. Matt, of course, a voice of UNLV baseball and Aviators as well. And now the new TV and radio voice of Rebel football.
What?
I assume with the extra responsibilities now, you're even locking in more during the offseason on the Rebels and Rebel football. Have you been tracking, and we don't have to go too hardcore on this, but the transfer portal hasn't been, it's not Deion-like, I'll tell you that. Deion, we're going to talk about Deion a little later in Colorado, that he's already got 15 spring entries into the portal. I know they wanted to kind of manage this, and so far in total there are 6 Rebels who were in the portal, but it's at a lot of positions where I think there was competition and guys looked around and are like, you know, maybe there's a better opportunity somewhere else.
Yeah, and you'll see that just about everywhere this time of year. The one that kind of surprised me was Marcus Miller, because he was so versatile. He had been so bought in last year, and a lot of the stuff that he had said preseason was really good to hear for a guy that may or may not have had a starting role at that point. Of course, Alani Makahele also entering the portal. Those two are really the big ones that are going to hurt. Nothing against any of the other guys that are transferring, but I think that it is, as you had mentioned, the offensive line, an area where they have a ton of depth. That was one of the things that stood out to me in the spring game, was just how big these guys were and how physical a couple of the newcomers were. Zio Griffin was one that I thought was going to take a step forward and really get an opportunity. I don't know how much he showed during that spring game per se, but he's one that was expected to have a little bit more of a role this season. But, yeah, as you said, Steve, really not too much as far as big-time losses, especially the tight end position now, all of a sudden one of depth. So it's going to be interesting to see where a lot of these guys end up. But UNLV's been fortunate as far as departures. Not every team can say that this time of year.
So what's your reaction to doing not only TV like we did last year on Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network, but doing play-by-play on the radio side for Rebel football?
Yeah, really excited to get going. It's a phenomenal opportunity for a program that is on the rise as much as any nationally, and just honored and thrilled to get going with it.
Come Matt, on, you got more than that.
He's
come
very
on,
reserved.
Yeah,
He's got big goals. He's got big goals. He could be doing this for many years, or who knows?
I'd go full.
Who knows? Hey, who knows what happens?
I'd go full heel.
You know, after last year's media poll kerfuffle, you can never be too
careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There's a little bit of it. There,
well, there we go. Yeah. I deserve this spot. I picked UNLV in the right slot. Up yours. Let's close on this one.
Is that what got you the job?
Yeah, they were like, extra credit. I didn't realize when they ask you to vote, you have a lot at stake. Right, yeah. You can have a boost or a relegation. I saw your tweet the other day about the pitch clock versus throwing max speed. And I want to bring up, you can talk about that, but I want to bring up Paul Skeens in the Pittsburgh organization, because he was just saying the other day he's a little bit annoyed that they're not letting him throw more innings. They're trying to protect him. But, man, I was watching the highlights of his game last night, and 100-mile-an-hour fastball that looks easy, and it's moving. I mean, what a freaking prospect.
I mean, he's incredible, right? His workload that he has been given so far is going to be just a temporary thing, and I think that's what a lot of people are really, really harping on, is, oh, they're only letting him go, you know, so many. But if you look at it in terms of pitches and not in terms of innings, that's what the Pirates are looking at. That's what they've always done. So he stretched out to about 65 pitches now. He got 8 of his 10 outs via the strikeout yesterday. That's never going to stop for him. His next outing, he'll likely get up to about 80. The next outing, they'll try to stretch him to 90. And I think after two more starts in AAA is when he's going to make his major league debut. And, yeah, that easy 100 is a clean, repeatable delivery. It is literally scientifically developed from when he was at the Air Force Academy and then transitioning into LSU with a lot of the resources that they had. And, yeah, he is going to be phenomenal for a long time to come if he stays healthy. And kind of transitioning to your other point, as far as a lot of people saying that the pitch clock is affecting a lot of these newfound arm injuries, I guess at the rate that they are occurring, there might be something to be said. I just don't think that enough time has passed. I don't think there's enough data when you look at it from a volume standpoint as far as being able to draw a direct correlation. It's, for me, max effort. And if you saw my tweet, it's all these guys that throw 100. It's all of them that are blowing their arm out. You're not seeing the slop-throwing lefty that throws 89 blowing out his elbow from throwing too many curveballs by the time they get up to the major league. The other issue is that we're starting to see kids specialize so much earlier on just baseball, and they're throwing and playing year-round, whereas, you know, in the past, you play football, you play basketball, you get your conditioning, and you save your arm a little bit of taxing in the offseason. Now these kids are throwing at 6, 7, 8 years old all year long, and I think that as you go through the system and through your physical development really, really is also having an impact, and that's one thing that not a lot of people are talking about.
Matt, you are the man. Congrats on the new gig, and we'll talk to you soon. Have fun this weekend.
Appreciate it, guys. Looking forward to it. Silver Stage Series presented by America First. I know you love the sponsor plugs.
Got to do it. Got to do it. There he is. He's a pro, and he likes working because he's doing two different baseball gigs right now, Aviators and UNLV. I think UNLV's got 15, 16 games left. Regular season ends, I think, on May 18th. By the way, I mentioned Paul Skeens. You know the – DeMond, do you know the background on Paul Skeens in terms of school and girlfriend?
Yeah, number one pick, LSU, Livy Dunn.
Oh, really?
Talk about a power couple.
Okay. That's pretty good.
How awesome is that if you're a top pick in the Major League Baseball draft, probably going to make tens of millions of dollars if everything works out with your arm, and right now you're not the most famous one in the relationship?
I would love it. I would be in a position. Yes. I would absolutely love being there. But get him up there. Come on. I got a 41 rookie of the year ticket on him. Let's do this thing.
You know, a guy like Haney versus Garcia, I've been watching the whole build-up and the lead-up to the fight. I have a ton of respect for Devin Haney. I think he's going to go in there and dominate. My favorite boxer right now is probably Gervonta. So, in general, I want to see that fight. I mean, that's the fight to make. I think Haney's going to go through him, and then eventually, I mean, Haney and Gervonta are going to have to meet. So, it'll be interesting.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
I feel like every 10 minutes we need to be checking social for the cancellation of this fight. So if you didn't know, well, that was Max Crosby talking about how excited he is for Haney Garcia and eventually Haney and Tank. I don't know if this fight's going to happen. Problems arise. I mean, the lead-up to the fight's been bizarro. Right, DeMond? With the, I don't know if he has mental health issues, if he was faking mental health issues, but that was disturbing like 5, 6 weeks out. We're talking about Garcia.
Yeah, it's been super disturbing what's going on with Ryan Garcia. At first, I thought it was an act now, but maybe we're closer to the fight, he'll get it together. But yesterday they were talking about if he misses weight, it'll be $500,000. Let's bet on it right now for every pound that he's overweight. He was overweight 3 pounds.
Did he take the bet with Team Haney?
They shook on it. So he is going to pay some amount for missing weight, but it's obviously not going to be the $1.5 million that would have been the agreed-on amount. But right. He is going to, you know, come off a little of his purse for missing weight. But he also stepped on the scales for the public weigh-in, drinking a beer.
No, he didn't just drink. He chugged it while he was on the scale.
Oh, no.
Chugging a beer.
And if I'm correct, he's got another weigh-in tomorrow where he's got to hit a certain limit because they try to not have guys rehydrate. I don't know if you saw. Kayla Harrison said, I thought she said, weighing in at 135, that she had rehydrated at 165. Did I read that number right in UFC?
I did not see that, but from the way she looked in the octagon, I believe it.
I mean, that's 30 pounds. That's crazy. Dan Rafael, longtime boxing scribe, is very freaked out. He said, yeah, Garcia's way overweight for the fight. Absolute disaster and absolutely expected. Then Garcia came out, and I think he said, I did it on purpose.
Yes, he does. He doesn't have a fight. He doesn't have the title, so he can't win the title. So it's like, okay, I'm still going to get paid. Give him maybe $1 million off of my purse. He's saying I'm going to come in at my best because I didn't have to make such a grueling cut the way Devin Haney did. I don't know if that strategy is really going to matter too much because of all of the antics. I would be surprised if he goes in there and we see this fight go past five rounds.
Person on Twitter said, people think he's still selling the fight. Only intrigue the fight holds is wondering what Ryan Garcia will look like in the ring. It honestly wouldn't surprise me if we saw something like Oliver McCall. Do you guys remember Oliver McCall? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but Oliver McCall was in a fight. I think it was with Lennox Lewis. I'll have to look back on it. But he had mental health issues, and I think the venue, the spot where he did this, I think he started whipping Christmas trees around the lobby at the Westgate.
Okay.
And then when the fight happened, he just walked to the corner and started crying.
Seriously?
He started weeping, yes.
Wow.
But I always remember the Christmas tree, throwing Christmas trees all over the place. I was like, how is he allowed to fight? Now, I don't know. I don't know what they're supposed to do. I don't know if the fight goes on. I'm not sure what they're supposed to do. I don't know who makes that call. This is a whole different frontier.
I mean, it's got to be his people.
Yep.
Like, that's at the end of the day, if this is something that is serious, which it seems to be trending at least in that direction, the people are responsible. You know, you could say it's the promotion, whatever. It's the people in his corner, the people who are closest to him, the people that know him. If this is real and troubling, you have to step in and do something.
Willie Ramirez on the way as we'll get into VGK and what he thinks is going to happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs and his take on Make a Heart Gate. I don't even know what you call that thing, but, man, it got crazy for a couple of days. It's still going on with the Caitlin Clark press conference.
Welcome to the league. I'm happy to have him. I believe he's going to be a great asset. Now, we give up Salt Lake City as a secondary territory, but we get Arizona, so we're okay. We still have our sphere of influence, which, for example, includes St. George, so we go out that far. We're fine. We're happy. We're good. We love Salt Lake. We have a lot of fans there. There are more people in Arizona, so I'm going where the people are.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
That was Knights owner Bill Foley with Mr. Scoop, Chris Matthews from 8 News Now, talking about seemingly out of nowhere, Utah has a hockey team now. Utah has a hockey team now. And I was asking that question during the week. I'm like, wait, that was one of the regions kind of going north that Foley was really into, and they had done the whole thing with Scripps and Salt Lake. But I guess they get the rights to Zona, so that could be pretty lucrative. Willie's in, Willie Ramirez. What's up, Willie?
What's up, guys? How are you?
What do you think about that? That I'm assuming the league ran it by Bill Foley, and I'm also, I don't know, maybe we just pulled one clip there, but I would think he should get a little bit of money out of that. I think they got another $200 or $300 million out of Marullo for the league, so I wonder how that works. I wonder behind the scenes if Foley just, you know, gave the rubber stamp and was like, hey, this is cool.
Well, I don't necessarily know if they needed his approval, but I'm sure that he wasn't that taken aback and worried about it. As he said, the fan base is wide. I mean, you got to remember, this team has sort of taken the nation by storm. Sorry about that. And
we got mic issues.
I thought he was getting mugged.
Yeah, is your dog attack? What's going on? Is that freaking muscle dog you have? Come on now.
No. In non-NHL markets, Vegas has become a popular team. So I think if anything, it could, you know, gain them some fandom when they pick up Arizona. So I don't necessarily think that he, you know, gave a second thought about it.
I kind of think it's a win-win, right, to what you're alluding to. Like, not only did you already establish your footprint where you could, but now you not only get more fans like to potentially buy in, but they're angry ones, right? They're going to be spited, so like they're not going to continue to cheer for this Salt Lake whatever.
Nope.
Let's go to the next best thing, which would be out here.
And not only that, fans that have been used to watching the Golden Knights beat up on the Coyotes. So,
you know,
it's sort of a built-in fan base in terms of fans that are used to seeing them on routinely because they're in the same conference division. So I think that it's a win-win 100%.
Well, you mentioned beat up. I expected the Ducks to get beat up last night. That didn't happen. I don't know if you think this a playoff matchup is more advantageous. First of all, what'd you make of last night? Before we preview the playoffs and the matchup, what'd you make of what happened last night?
It was a little egregious for me. I don't know if they – here's the thing. Every year since the Golden Knights have been in the league, every year we hear about how dangerous Edmonton's going to be. This is the year. This is the year. They're fed up with losing. Connor McDavid is going to hoist the team. I don't understand why this year is different. I really don't. Nobody can tell me anything that they haven't said the previous 6 years. Nothing has changed. They're a team that's starving to get to the Stanley Cup and finally get this kid a ring. But nothing's different to me. So I don't know if it's advantageous. If it was advantageous, I don't know if they tanked, if they just pulled it back a notch. It certainly didn't look like the Golden Knights that we have seen clinch and still continue to play with momentum. And let's not forget that we're talking about a revenge series here with a team that was knocked out of the Western Conference Final by the Golden Knights and Peter DeBoer. You know, I was messaging with Dan Rosen from NHL.com, and we were talking. I was like, this could be the year that he finally gets his Stanley Cup. This is a deep team. This is a talented team. They won the West, they could very well have set themselves up by losing last night. Not saying they did on purpose, but by not showing up to play against one of the worst teams in the league, it could have worked against them.
The number one goalie for the Knights is?
If I were Sean Burke and Bruce Cassidy, it would have to be Logan Thompson. I mean,
ooh,
hands down. You look at what this – I don't care that Adin Hill led them to the Stanley Cup. I don't care how much money he's making. All we've heard about since 2017 about hockey, for those that were, you know, blind to what takes place in the Stanley Cup and how the playoffs work. First of all, we all know the myth about the President's Cup winner. It hasn't won, I think, since 2012. Number two, it's usually a surprising team that makes a run with the hot goaltender. Well, guess what? Last year, Laurent Brossoit, then Adin Hill were the hot goaltenders. Right now, Logan Thompson, since March 17th, is over 11 game appearances, 10 starts. He's 8-2-0, 926 save percentage, 2.41 goals against average. Now, that's in the past month. Go back to February 12th. Adin Hill, in 16 starts, is 5-10-0, 875 save percentage, goals against 3.72. That's almost four goals a game. Logan Thompson should be the number one goaltender going in. Yes, they should be ready to move Adin Hill in if Logan has an off night, or once you've kind of put the game behind, let's say, against Dallas. Dallas has a big first, second period. It's kind of out of the hands. Switch the goaltenders up. But right now, the hot hand, and as we've heard, as I said, for the past 6 years, since Vegas, since this community has been part of the NHL, it's all about the hot team, the sleeper team, and the hot goaltender. And right now, for Vegas, it's Logan Thompson.
Who's your pick for the Cup?
Well, that's a whole other story, because I think that the winner of this series is going to win the Stanley Cup final. And I actually think that Dallas is good. I think this is the year that Peter DeBoer gets it. I have Dallas meeting the New York Rangers in the Stanley Cup final.
What?
And my actual personal team, since I was younger, the New York Rangers, I'm picking against them, considering that I was born in New York. So I've always cheered for the Rangers. I like Dallas. I just think that this team, top to bottom, is deep. It's strong. It can get you at both ends of the ice, the goaltending. And I just think Peter DeBoer is due. I mean, I don't know how many times this guy, you know, can get as far as he's gotten. and not he's time. It's time that he coaches and learns from coaching mistakes. What he did wrong in the past with this team, with the Golden Knights, with the Devils, with the Panthers. I mean, this is the year I think that Peter DeBoer has the wherewithal to carry it, to coach a team to the Stanley Cup championship. I'm picking the Dallas Stars over the New York Rangers.
Willie Ramirez, Sporting Tribune AP, is with us. JVT, you know, does a lot of hockey talk over on VSiN. You were scoffing in the background. Is this some fight you want to undertake?
I mean, the answer is the Nashville Predators. That's the answer. Yeah.
Why?
Because I have a 90-1 ticket on them. Okay. Stanley Cup. That's the only reason.
There you go, Willie.
From that perspective, I'm 100% cheering for JVT.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Absolutely. I mean, at 90-1, come on now.
Now, I was also convinced to throw down by Derek Stevens over there downtown and Wilbo that maybe put a little bit on the Red Wings too. That didn't really work out. So I'm all in on the Nashville Predators. Let's go.
Willie, you texted me the other day. You're like, hey, I'm in on this press conference here with Caitlin Clark, and then, man, that thing blew into something I did not expect. Give me your reaction to, what Greg Doyle did, and I guess even more, the reaction with what's happened since. Man, that thing got freaking flamed up over the last couple of days.
It blew up. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, I heard it live. Now, I obviously, the camera, the Zoom, right, it's on Caitlin Clark. But I knew exactly what took place because when the third reply or her second reply, because the first was, you like that, he said whatever, and then she goes, yeah, I do that to my parents. I knew exactly. I was like, oh my gosh, did he throw the heart sign up to her? Okay, let's just let that go. Maybe it was exactly how he explained it in his apologetic column where, hey, I was just greeting you. I meant to leave it. But when he replied with, just do it to me, or, you know, greet me the same, whatever it was, and we'll get along just fine, I was like, ugh, that's – I don't know about that. Now, the outrage – I saw JVT sent over Candace Buckner. Candace used to work for the Indianapolis Star. When I first met Candace, she was at the Indy Star. So I'm assuming she knows Greg Doyle. I actually – I spoke to Ed Graney just in general. We were catching up the other night, and he knows Greg Doyle. Steve Karp, our local veteran reporter, that they all know this guy, and they were like, everybody was shocked in the fact that, quote unquote, he should know better. Here's the thing, the first thing I thought of was, you don't tell an athlete that, guy or girl. It wouldn't have made it okay for a guy either, because they don't have to greet you anyway for you to get along just fine. It's not your job to be their friend. You don't have to tell them to do to greet you a certain way, and we'll get along just fine. The fact that it was a young girl, a 22-year-old girl, and you're an older, you know, male reporter, that's where it was cringeworthy, and all of a sudden the tweets on you're a creep and you're this and you're that. Was it over the top? It probably – I think after he wrote his – I don't know. Did you guys read his apology column? Because I had a little bit of an issue with his apology column, maybe more than the actual act itself. It was almost self-righteous, as if he said, well, this is just who I am. So instead of apologizing and learning from that, he kind of just – I don't know. I may have taken the column a little bit the wrong way. But I do think that at some point this has to die down. This guy has a he has a long-standing, he's an award-winning columnist. The only thing that I did see after his column came out was some historic tweets that he put out. He apparently has said some raw things.
Yeah, I mean, that's
past.
Yeah, that's
to guys and to men. Yeah. I think he said something to LeBron James once.
He's obnoxious, yeah. And you know, I've been around him. He covered a lot of UFC in the early days. It's what he is, but you know. There are different rules now. You got to have a certain level of decorum with everyone, and especially if you're covering women. And he also has to read the situation. I mean, this is the biggest female athlete we've seen in, you know, dozens of years. I mean, all the eyes are on. So the like I said last beginning around the time that this happened, I'm like, just go to press conferences, ask questions. Don't joke, okay? Don't get around.
And
just be straight on your questions, and you're not going to get in trouble.
In a sense, by saying what he said, he kind of made the. He kind of turned the situation, the moment, about himself.
Yeah.
You know,
Caitlin Clark's going to get a Nike deal. Oh, how come Asia Wilson doesn't have one already? Why are people sleeping on Asia Wilson?
I don't, you know, that's come up in the past. And the, but you know what? Asia Wilson is the least mad about this out of everybody else, including Becky Hammon. Becky Hammon went off in the middle of a press conference last year when Arash Markazi brought it up. And Asia has been the most patient about it, just saying, all in good time. I mean, this is somebody who, you know, she just wrote a book. She hit the New York Times bestseller list. I don't know why she doesn't have her own shoe yet. Maybe she's fine with it. Maybe the buildup. I really don't know. Does she deserve one? Sure. I'm seeing people say that Caitlin Clark doesn't deserve one. Here's the thing. Caitlin Clark deserves everything that's coming her way. You know why? Because everybody is pulling at her from every single angle to be a part of her. And the WNBA, the Indiana Fever, Iowa, the NC2A, everybody wants Caitlin Clark to give them the best exposure and put them on the map. Raise women's basketball. So, yeah, she definitely deserves it because if you're going to go out there and use her name and use her image and so on and so forth, then she deserves what she's getting. But Asia Wilson 100% deserves to have a shoe at some point when that happens. And when it happens, it's going to blow up. It's going to be huge because as we've talked about in the past, as we talked about earlier this year about Caitlin Clark, you said, I think, Steve, you alluded to it, that when she comes into the league, she'll be the face. She's not going to be the face of the league. Asia Wilson's the face of the league. Asia Wilson's a two-time WNBA champ, multi-MVP, defensive player of the year. Caitlin Clark is going to have her lessons learned as a player on the court. She's very humble. She's going to be a face in the league, but she's not going to supplant Asia Wilson. And Asia Wilson will get her just due at some point when her Nike deal, her shoe deal comes in.
Willie, you the man. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, guys. Take it easy. Thanks.
There he is, Willie G. Ramirez. Big on women's basketball, big on the NHL, big on the local scene. I don't agree with anything you said at the end there, but we've got 45 seconds left. But it does set me up for this one.
I agree with your disagreement, by the way.
You saw that Desiree Young from UNLV is signed by Phoenix. Does she have to go in there and play like a pansy because Diana Taurasi is demanding this respect for the older players? Damon, you ever go out and see the Lady Rebels and the way Desiree Young plays?
Yes, and I think she might earn Diana Taurasi's respect because of the way she plays.
Or she's going to get freaking just screamed at in practice because right.
She is
a freaking charge waiting to happen. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's the way she plays. And guess what? She's 6'1", 6'1 and a half. She's going to have to develop the outside skills. Dozens of times on the show, Desiree Young plays like a bowling ball.
That's right. And you know what?
She is scary. And if Diana Taurasi is out there and playing defense and is like, oh, I'll stand in front of her. She's not going to charge over me, the vet. Okay.
Yeah. The other way around, Damon. Taurasi better earn Desiree Young's respect. Okay?
Young women taking over.
Willie
doesn't agree, but the young ladies taking over the WNBA, and it's good for everyone.